Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, along with former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli, provide the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Brought to you by Baptist Health and by Everbank. Jaguars Thursday begins right now. Right now.
Here we are in the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Jeff Loggeman is off tonight. Glad you're with us. 355-NFL1, 355-6351. We'll take your calls this evening. Lots to get to. Jaguars hiring consultants for the salary cap. We'll talk about the John Idzik hire for the Jags coming up. Also, Will Blackman released today. And a senior VP of football technology buying an analytics company. That all came out today, Tony. So
it's exciting stuff.
Yeah. And we'll also go around the National Football League. We'll hear from Luke Boenko, the Jaguars center, see what his first full offseason in the league has been like so far. And we'll also hear from Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk to recap the big day in the National Football League, the ruling that Adrian Peterson could be reinstated. Actually, the court ruling in favor of Peterson today, and also to talk about the Dez Bryant situation that's kind of blown up over the last day or so. That's coming up a little later tonight. So plenty to get to. Let's start with this. The Jags reportedly hiring John Idzik, the former Jets GM, a longtime salary cap guy in the league, 6 or 7 years, I think, with the 6 years with the Seattle Seahawks as VP of football administration there. Basically, this is a short-term consulting job for Idzik. Another brain to bounce some cap ideas off of because he was in a similar situation with the Jets. Big, lot of room to maneuver, and another guy to have in the room at least to bounce some ideas off.
Well, yeah. Listen, I think it's – I'm not sure it's about what he did or didn't do at the Jets as the GM. I think it's more about the success and the knowledge he had while at the Seattle Seahawks.
That's right.
Is very well respected in that position as a cap guy in understanding the maneuverings and the management of it. And so I think that's probably the bigger reason that he was brought in.
There's no football analysis at all.
That's my point. So I don't think it has anything good, bad, indifferent. And I have really no opinion because I didn't follow the Jets at all in what he did or didn't do. So I think it has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with his – really acute acumen for managing the cap and his success doing that. And he's known by a lot of people in this building. And one guy is the head coach, Gus Bradley, who was in Seattle a lot of those years that John Idzik was as well. And JP, I don't know what it tells you, but it tells me this.
Okay, what does it tell you, Tony?
That the Jaguars plan on being very – very active in free agency and plan on spending this boatload of cash they have available, cap room they have available, I should say, and are aggressively going to go into the market, possibly for more than one big player.
Spending money before you spend money is an indicator that you're going to spend some money, right? I mean,
you don't hire it because, listen,
why would you hire Jaguars to spend money?
The Jaguars have a very good cap guy in Tim Walsh who's been here for countless years.
And that's the point. He's still the cap guy.
He's still the cap guy, and he's very well respected, very good. I think what they said is we are going to be so active, and there's going to be so much going on, and we have to have our ducks in a row so when the quote-unquote quiet period ends, and which is right around the corner, and we can start talking to guys, we know exactly what we want to offer, what we can offer, and how we want to structure it. I think they're going to be super aggressive in free agency.
March 7th is the period where you can start negotiating, and then, of course, March 10th at 4 p.m. is the opening of the free agency period. So it is here. It's coming quick. Not that there's – I mean, you don't – we talked about this a couple weeks ago.
It's
always something going on, right? I mean
– it's already here.
Yeah. You got to be ready before that March 7th starts with an idea of where you want to go at least, right? You can't just show up March 7th, hey, let's start talking to some random guy.
No, you have to have packages and ideas and right. How much you want to spend and how you want to structure so you can get this guy and this guy and that guy and this guy and this is the guys we're going to go after later in free agency, the second-tier guys, and here's the third-tier guys we want to look to plug in the roster. Trust me, they're working full-time right now.
How does the draft factor into that too, or does it yet? I think in terms of free agent signings, hey, we might draft a guy like this. Let's hold off on signing a free agent guy.
Well, when you're picking third, I think the Jaguars have an idea of where they want to go in the draft right now, coming out of evaluating College Tape, the Senior Bowl, the Combine, still have the Pro Days. But I think they have a pretty good idea of, you know, the general direction they want to go, and that will probably dictate a little bit what you do in free agency. But I don't think it eliminates any one position in free agency because of what you do in the draft. I think maybe free agency dictates a little bit more what you do in the draft, especially after that first pick. Or maybe even with the first pick, because if you spend a lot of money on a high-priced free agent, let's say, here's a scenario.
Throw it out there.
They go get Ndamukong Suh.
Okay.
Are you still going to use the third pick on Leonard Williams if he's there? Maybe you use it on a Dante Fowler or someone else like that who's more of a Leo. Maybe that's a scenario maybe that you look at.
Okay. So is that one – you have some inside info? You have some breaking news here, Tony?
I have no breaking news.
Come on, let's go.
I picked out one of the biggest name free agents and, you know.
Okay. That would make sense, though. Yeah, why would you sign
let's say
two?
Demaryius Thomas was a free agent. It becomes a free agent. The Broncos don't get a deal done, which are going to franchise him if they don't. But let's just say he's free. Mm-hmm. And you sign Demaryius Thomas. Well, that pretty much, based on what you did in the draft last year and getting him, takes you off the board for any of those receivers in the top two rounds.
Right. There you go. So that's all planned out.
Yeah, I think it's very planned out.
All those scenarios, too. Multiple
scenarios. And you got to be ready for every scenario, because then there's going to be a scenario that surprises you. Maybe a guy's available, you didn't plan on it. Maybe a guy's going a little bit, costs you a little bit more money than you expected. So you have to work other scenarios out. Changes things. Maybe it's cheaper. I mean, now it opens up you to be able to do more things. So, no, I mean, you have a sense what the market's is going to say and what the prices are going to be for certain guys. But still, you got, you know, there's always those wild cards. There's always the Washington Redskin type teams out there that offer way more than anyone else was going to offer for a certain guy.
I remember 2 years ago at the Combine, Bill Polian told us that he did not like free agency. It's an agent-driven time of year where the agents kind of inflate numbers and accolades to get their guy more money. That's the way it works. And, of course,
I think the really good GMs don't fall for the old banana in the tailpipe by the agents. Mm-hmm. I mean, they see right through it.
Right. Dave told us last week that Caldwell that he despises free agency. That's not how you supplement with a free agency, and there's a time and a place where you have to do it, and this is the start of that time and that place. But he said it. He despises free agency.
He might despise it, but they just spent money on a guy to come help them manage it.
That's right.
So you can despise something that you're going to still have to go into and figure out how to make yourself better.
News today, the Jaguars made it official. Will Blackman, the cornerback, released from the Jags. The writing on the wall was last year when he had the broken finger, went on the IR, and might have been able to come back toward the end of the year. But
he had Aaron Colvin that he wanted to get out there. And,
right.
And then the way he played the nickel makes you think, hey, we got a nickel. We got a guy who can play that position.
Right. But will he be playing nickel next year? He'll be playing outside next year, right, Colvin?
Like in first and second down, he's in regular defense, he's outside. And my guess is you might kick it, see him kick down to the nickel in sub packages. Just a guess. I could be dead wrong, by the way, but he was very good at the nickel last year.
Yeah. You don't want to take him off the field at all.
No, he's one of the two corners that's on the field 24/7.
Blackman was, a 9-year player? So he's been around a little bit.
Did a good job for this franchise, came in as a free agent and filled the gap as a punt returner when they needed him. I think it was last year. He returned some punts and then earned his time on the field, and he did a good job for this franchise, and he can be proud of the job he did and handled himself the right way as a professional.
Other news today, Adam Schefter tweeting earlier that Jags Senior VP of Football Technology and Analytics, Tony Khan, has purchased True Media Networks, an engineering firm used for data analytics by ESPN, and then some NFL, Major League Baseball, and soccer teams. He was unavailable to join us tonight. We'll get him on another time to talk about it. But he bought the whole company now. I know the Jags had used some of
did
that
they say how much
data
is,
before.
I mean, how much does something like that go for? Is there a price tag out there?
I did not see a number on that.
I mean, is that something JP could afford, or is it like is that big dollar?
I doubt that highly.
That's big paper.
That's That's big. A lot of zeros, probably more zeros than I'm used to.
I guess a company that's being used by multiple professional teams and ESPN probably has some street creds.
But it's funny how this has blown up over the last few years. The NFL teams more and more are starting to get into this analytics realm of it. Now you got
give Tony Khan credit. Well, I mean, listen, it started in baseball, and then you saw basketball kind of go to the advanced metrics, which I don't understand even in the slightest. And you see more and more football. And give Tony Khan credit. He was one of the pioneers on the football side of going down that path, and he is a great asset and very valuable because I think the information he gives is very relevant. And what I like about the analytics that Tony provides and his team provide, they're useful. I think sometimes the dangers of analytics is you can get so much information and so much data out there by these really smart individuals that you can look at it and you go cross-eyed because you have no idea how it pertains to the what you're trying to do. Tony does a great job of paring it down to find the nuggets that are very relevant for whatever given situation, and he does it. A lot of the stuff he does that I've seen is really pertinent to that week. It's just not a general rule. It's like, what are we going to do this week based on who we are and who we're playing? And I think that's very valuable information.
But there's still, even though it's just baseball, for example, there's still teams that are scout heavy. They don't really buy into the whole analytics. Yeah, the batting average is one thing, but the scouting eye test still tells a lot of the story for a lot of these organizations. So some organizations are just old school like that. That's how they're running it. They just might not go.
Why does
it
have to be an either or, though? Why can't it be both?
I don't think it has to be an either or. I think that's just the way some organizations have been. So in time, maybe they'll turn in that direction.
You know,
right?
And I think there's great value of being able to evaluate talent by watching a player and how he plays and everything else.
I think you still have to have both. You're right.
And I think the analytics and what that brings can help confirm what you see, open your eyes to things you don't see, and really, if you're open to it, kind of direct you down a path that helps you make the best possible decision.
For example, I'm just throwing something out there. The Hobart offensive lineman. Didn't he come to the Senior Bowl late?
I don't know if he came. He was on the North, so
other
we just talked to him.
But he ran the fastest offensive line time. It was under five. It was like 4.9.
And you know what that means to me?
Yeah, I was going to ask you what your 40 time was, Tony.
5.1 something. 5.1 and change.
Right. So a lot of times it's, okay, the speed's there to confirm that he has
what is that?
He can move, right?
Does it confirm
anything? No.
Just because you're fast, straight line, what does that matter?
So that's an analytic that you would ignore.
I'd throw it out. Now, when I look at the 40 for an offensive lineman, if a guy runs a 5.7, I'm like, 5.6, maybe not real athletic. But if a guy runs –
but can he block somebody? That's the question, right?
You know what I'm more interested in? Tell me what his 10 time was. How explosive is he off the ball? Tell me what his 5.10.5, change direction is. Tell me how he moves in the drills. Can he drop his hips? Is he a waist bender or a knee bender? Is he a guy who can – redirect and keep his body in a low position? Can he change direction? Can he move his hips and as he pass blocks and open up and or change direction and shut off an inside move? How fast he runs the 40, I could care less. Tony Manning just ran a 4.6 and benched 8,000 pounds and he couldn't play dead in the NFL.
And we all know you want to be a coach one day, Tony, in the NFL. But would you want to scout? Could you scout, you think?
Could I? Yeah. I mean, I'd have to be trained. I mean, those guys have – I mean, they're really good at what they do.
Yeah,
I mean,
you just don't show up and scout.
I
get that.
I mean, I'm not that arrogant to think I could just show up and say, hey, I know how to scout. Do I think I could learn the craft quickly because I think I know, especially the offensive line position, because I know what I'm looking at and what I'm looking for in a guy? Absolutely. But I'd rather – if I'm going to do anything from a – career standpoint in football, I want to coach. I would choose coaching before scouting.
Just because you're on the field and you like to instruct. Right?
I like teaching.
Teaching guys.
I enjoy the teaching aspect of it.
Nice. So no scouting for Tony Baselli. He's on the record.
I'm not saying no scouting. You asked me what would I prefer.
Okay. So you'd prefer to coach?
I prefer to coach.
So you want to coach. Now, 2 weeks ago, you said you didn't want to coach when you were going to Mobile.
I never said that.
Yeah, you did. You didn't want to talk about it.
I know.
Now, all of a sudden, you go to Mobile, you're in the spotlight, you got all this, now you want to be a coach.
JP, I never said.
I heard it.
I want to be a coach. You asked me a question. Let me rephrase the question for you because you're so dang hard-headed. Is you asked me, would I rather coach or scout? And I said, if I'm choosing either one as a career, I'd choose coaching first.
So you want to be a coach?
Not that I don't
you
want
can
to
say
scout.
That. It's okay
or
to say that.
I want to coach.
It's okay.
I already do coach, by the way.
Good.
I'm a coach right now. Currently, I have a job as a coach.
That's great.
It happens to be at the high school level, which I love to death.
One day you'll get somewhere, kid. Just hang with him.
And this is coming from a guy.
Yeah, right. Get more in 2015.
It was on ESPN 15 a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Yeah, it was quite a show, too, I'll tell you. Get more in 2015. Become a Jaguars season ticket member. Get access to amazing benefits 365 days a year. Receive a stadium experience voted number one by the fans in the league. Great seating options available for any budget. Visit jaguars.com/tickets or speak to an account manager 633-2000. A reminder that the deadline for season ticket renewals, the drop-dead date is March 16th. That's a Monday. If you aren't renewed by then, your seat could be lost for this season. We'll visit with Jaguars center Luke Bowenko after this. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Prime Sport is the leading global sports travel and event management company, offering corporate and fan travel packages and hospitality events for corporations, professional sports teams, and fans. And for more information, go to primesport.com. The Jaguars offseason is brought to you by Prime Sport. JP Shadrick with Tony Baselli. Jaguars Thursday rolls along, and we go to the phone line. Welcome in Jaguars center, Luke Bowenko. Luke, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm good, JP. Just getting ready to fix some dinner. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thanks for coming
What are you having?
Oh, man, I got the catch of the day. I went out. I swam about 3 miles offshore. I caught myself a salmon, which apparently swims in the Atlantic Ocean nowadays.
Wow. Really?
And I brought it back, and, yeah, I'm just throwing it in the oven now.
Were you spear fishing, free diving?
No, just my hands.
Oh, just your hands.
Pretty good.
Damn.
Yeah.
Wow, that's impressive.
That's pretty
good hands.
Now, how are we preparing?
How big were your hands at the combine?
I don't care about that. No one cares about that. How are we preparing the salmon tonight?
We're throwing it into some salt and pepper. You know, the Bowenko special. It's fine dining, and it's fine. You know,
is it just you? Is this a solo meal tonight?
Yeah, it's dinner for one.
Wow.
For one.
How big was this salmon, by the way?
Yeah. I have no idea. I mean, it was about 10 feet long. I don't know what the weight was on it, though.
All right, let's move off salmon for a second.
Back to
Luke.
It's impressive.
Number one, how's the body feeling first year? That I always say that rookie year is probably one of the toughest, only because you go right from your senior year in college to the different bowl games and combine to pro days to the draft to rookie mini camp to pro mini camps to working out and then right to training camp, and then you're in the middle of a season and you're like, what, which ends up, you know, how long did it take you to kind of decompress, and how are you feeling now?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I mean, even about halfway through the season last year, I remember walking out to practice one day. I was like, what the heck is going on? Like, we'd be done with the season like 2 weeks ago. But I mean, it was fun. I ended up taking, you know, about 2 weeks off after the season, just like kicking back and relaxing, got to see the family. And after about 3 days, I was like itching to get back doing something. You're like a caged animal. You know how it is. But I feel good now. I'm back working out with the guys and, you know, become best friends with Milo and all that good stuff. So, you know, at this point, my young body is back to normal and just trying to find a way to, you know, get a little better.
So as you look back at your rookie year, I mean, you come in, you know, mid-round draft pick, you know, not knowing really, you know, probably coming in, I'll be the backup, work, you know, kind of spend time and try to make the team first, and then you find yourself starting about three games into the season. What, looking back, as you prepare for next year, Tell me two things you learned from this season that you said, you know what, these are a couple areas I'm really going to work on, so I'm going to be a better player because of these things going into next year.
Well, one thing I think that, you know, is real important for me is playing with my hands, but playing violent with them, not just throwing them out there. And I think that was one thing that really took me a while to, you know, took Coach Buckus and when Coach Yarno was here, it took him a while to get it through my head that, you know, you're not just putting them on people. You got to be violent with them, and that's something I've already been working on. And it's a slow process, but you know, you got to figure it out because you know the separation in this game. It's, you got to fight for it every play. And then another thing is, you know, from week 3 to week 17, football is a complete different game by week 17, and I need to, you know, just continue to learn all the intricacies of defenses and what I'm seeing and what I'm feeling and being able to talk to, you know, the other guys on the line and Blake and, you know, just help that offensive machine move a little smoother.
Luke Boyenko is with us, Jaguars center on Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick with Tony Boselli. As a unit, you bring in Doug Marrone now as the offensive line coach. Butkus is still around. But as a unit, where does this group improve, and how do you improve moving forward, and what does this offseason mean for this group moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, it's a big – I mean, every offseason is a big offseason, no matter what level of, you know, football you're playing. But it's important, you know, that we get in together and we're working together. And we got a great group of guys that are in there and, you know, in Jacksonville now working out together. So you know, that part is kick-started a little bit. But, you know, especially with the new stuff, it's good to be able to sit down in the meeting room maybe once a week and talk through some things, get a jump start, a head start, so we're not playing catch-up when OTAs come around.
The, you know, look at it, you know, your body type, Luke, athletic, you're tall for a center, but, you know, able to get under guys and move and pull and do all the different things. But my guess is a big difference coming in at this level is the size of that one technique, the nose guard that you're having to block and what you're asked to do there. Is one of your goals this offseason, I mean, do you want to get – I mean, every offseason is important. Everyone wants to get stronger. I don't care how old you are. You're always trying to get stronger and get better. But is gaining maybe a little bit of size and getting a little heavier, is that a goal? Or are you happy where you are weight-wise and you're going to maintain that going into next year?
I think, I mean, obviously, like you said, you want to get stronger. I think for me, the weight isn't necessarily the problem or the issue. It's just where it is. So, I mean, I've talked to Coach and talked to Milo about just being able to cut down the lean mat, the sloppiness, and be able to transfer some of it into, you know, some functional strength and maybe get a little thicker in the upper body and all that stuff. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, those dudes are huge over there, and they're, you know, heck of football players. So. You got to be able to move them, and a lot of that stuff just comes from, you know, taking that the beers that you drink in college and turning that fat into functional strength. And you know,
I didn't realize you guys drank beer at Virginia. I thought you guys were a little more high class university.
I mean, Charlottesville, Monticello,
kind of hot. You know,
yeah. Well, I mean, we're
thought you were more like a bourbon guy,
beer, right? Like Hard Lemonade.
Yeah, okay.
Luke Polanco is with us. Yeah, I mean, the ACC didn't have big nose tackles? I mean, come on, Luke.
Not this level, JP. It's a little bit different.
Let's go, man. Luke Polanco is. Now, did I – I saw some tweets. You were at the Daytona 500 last week, right?
Heck yeah, I was.
You're a big NASCAR guy, though, aren't you?
I'm a big NASCAR guy. I have been my whole life. I used to pick my dad off. I'd make him change a channel on Sundays. I make him change the channel from Red Team games when we were watching when I was growing up. I flip it on and hopefully catch a big wreck. But yeah, that was a lot of fun this weekend. Different viewing experience than I've been used to, that's for sure.
Sure. And it was a big Jaguars group that was down there too, right? A few guys went, right?
Yeah, exactly. They gave us a little bit of a VIP treatment. We were in there, and I think we just rode Toby Gerhardt's coattails or something. But, you know, I just put sunglasses on and keep my head low.
Just look the part, baby.
A lot of fun.
Just look the part. That's all you need to do. What, you know, last year you're a rookie, Linder's a rookie, and you got a rookie quarterback. I got to believe the confidence level just from working together and the communication is something you got to be looking forward to, just be able to take that to the next level.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said earlier, I mean, half the time early in the season, you know what you're doing, but you don't know necessarily why you're doing it or, you know, how it works. And but that kind of stuff, as it builds and as you kind of just, it's not even spoken really, it's just you do it and it just happens more fluently and better. That kind of stuff is levels beyond, and we're just hoping to build on it.
So outside of, so first off season, first time, you know, off season in college is pretty simple because none of us had any money. And I know at Virginia you guys weren't getting paid. It's not like they pay at Virginia. It's not like Alabama. So, you know, got a little bit of, you know, tell us, you know, besides wrestling salmon after you swim 3 miles offshore and getting in, trying to get a six-pack, which is ridiculous if you're an offensive lineman, and getting yoked up, you know, what are you doing this offseason?
Well, I was up in D.C. the other day, and it was like 9 degrees and the ground was hard. So I'm down here for the first time. It's February still, and it's warm out. So, you know, well, it's relatively warm out. For us northerners, it's warm. But
yeah, us down here, we've been down here for a while. It's freezing right now.
Yeah, cold. Yeah, exactly. 50 degrees, and you guys are wearing jackets. It's ridiculous. But, you know, I'm looking to play a lot of golf. I've already gotten out a few times. Got to be able to get my game up so I can beat Jokel. I've been getting into fishing with Linder. I've never been a big fisher, you know, type, but I'm learning. I'm getting better. That's why I use my hands. I don't know how to tie the hooks on there yet, but, you know, I'm getting there. And just a lot of relaxing. I mean, this time last year I was taking 17 credits to finish my, you know, master's degree and working out all at the same time. So this is the first downtime I've had in a long time, so I'm just enjoying my sleep time.
So you and Jokel on the golf course, can I get a little bit of that action?
You're in there. You just got to be able to keep up.
Wow!
Whoa! I mean, we could put a couple. We could put a matchstick or two on the line, and we'll see who can keep up.
Let's do it.
I love it.
Heard we'll it. Play here. Skins and the Lukes will take you guys down.
You're crazy!
Oh my goodness!
Listen. We're going to set a date for that, and we will be I'll even set up the golf. It'll be all taken care of, and we'll
show it live on Jaguars.com.
No, there'll be no video.
Yes,
there's
no absolutely video exclusive.
I want to deny the abuse that is put on these two young bucks on the golf course.
Hey, I'll talk to Jokel. We might even let you play your home course. Like, you know, we'll show up anywhere.
Listen,
we'll play in the parking lot of Everbank. We don't care.
Oh, gosh.
Well, listen, I like the confidence, Luke.
I'm telling you right now, it's going to be an epic beatdown.
Love this confidence. That's awesome.
Oh, it's great. It's misguided, and it's going to cost them dearly, but it's great confidence.
Can't wait. Hey, Luke, we really appreciate your time before your huge salmon dinner tonight, and enjoy it.
I sure will, guys. Thanks for having me.
Luke Belenko, Jaguars center, joining us on Jaguars Thursday. Can talk a mean game, too, Tony.
Yeah, I'm not quite – trust me, I'm not too worried about it. I've heard about the Luke's golf game, so I think I'll be okay.
Republic Services, the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida, the official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions. And they will take it from here. We'll look around the National Football League after this. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Get more from your business in 2015 with the Ultimate Business Makeover Sweepstakes, presented by Comcast Xfinity, the Money Pages, 1010 XL, and the Jacksonville Jaguars. For more information, visit Jaguars.com. It's time to look around the National Football League. Our 360-degree look around the NFL, presented by 360 Access. Don't mess around when it comes to game time. The 360 Access team of experts is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to make sure you have the best experience for the biggest games of the year. Visit 360access.com to learn more. Some interesting news about Darnell Dockett today, Tony, you're bringing up.
Yes, up? I was on Pro Football Talk. Darnell Dockett, you know, NFL players are often looked to as role models.
Okay.
Thomas Davis, the Panthers linebacker, just won the Walter Payton Man of the Year.
It's nice.
Had urged, you know, NFL players to change their create change in their communities. Great leadership by Thomas Davis, and I think Darnell Dockett's trying to change, create change in his community. And
okay,
that's he nice. Had a very nice interesting message via his Instagram account, posted via video to a youth football team.
Okay. Let's hear it. What is it? What do we got?
Quote, "I want you all to get a girlfriend by next week."
That's
right?
That's good advice.
End quote.
Yeah.
He goes on to say, quote, "I want you all to say no to drugs."
That's really good advice.
He continues with the following bit of advice. "I don't want you all hanging in the strip clubs. Not yet."
That's sound advice, too. I mean, what's wrong with that?
Yeah, I'm not sure talking about strip clubs to a youth
football.
You
don't want them to hang in there.
He says, not yet.
Yeah.
So basically he's saying, telling young men, impressionable people, at some point, go hang out in a strip club. Yeah, I don't think that's...
Just don't do it yet.
No, he's...
It's not illegal. I'm just saying.
JP... You and Darnell Dockett need to stay off Instagram.
I'm off Instagram. I don't have that.
And don't talk to young men.
I haven't talked to a youth football team and ever.
That's good. And Darnell Dockett. Wow. I don't want you all hanging in the strip clubs.
I mean, they're all valid points.
Not yet.
All valid points from Darnell there.
Yeah. I have to disagree very strongly. I think the good saying no to drugs, that's good.
Yeah.
I think he could have left the strip club part out.
Okay. Well, agree to disagree, yes.
Yeah, that tells us a lot about you, JP.
Apparently so. More on the Adrian Peterson and Dez Bryant news coming up. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, scheduled to join us in about 10 minutes from right now. Greg Hardy seeking immediate reinstatement and time to become a free agent. $13.1 million made last year, but played one game after those charges. They were later dismissed. He'll find a job.
But he's not reinstated at this point.
Not yet. He's seeking.
He's seeking, but the NFL came out today and said, there's no need to talk about reinstatement because we have not levied penalties yet.
Right.
So basically the NFL is saying...
But can you there's no charges.
Well, based on the ruling, we'll get great insight by Mike Florio in the next segment, but based on the ruling by Judge Doughty in the Adrian Peterson case, Judge Doughty basically said... You cannot enforce rules that were made after the incident retrospect.
You can't go retroactive on it.
Retroactive.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't do that. So based on that, you would think it'd be very difficult for the NFL to punish Greg Hardy via rules that were not in place when the allegations were made, which he was ultimately cleared of in the appeal process after he was found guilty the first time. The interesting thing about that, the reason the case was dismissed, mysteriously, the young lady involved in the incident all of a sudden decided not to testify and not to be anywhere near the proceedings.
Yep.
I wonder, just curious, I wonder if any money was involved.
Oh, what are you trying to say, Tony?
I'm not saying. I'm wondering.
I don't
know. I'm curious.
That's deep.
It's just maybe love was found. I don't know.
Maybe.
Maybe it's about love and not the dead presidents.
Not the dollar, yeah. Maybe.
Not sure.
It's
all about the love, Joe.
Very much about the dead presidents.
Unfortunately,
when it comes
a lot of
to
times it's all about the money.
When it comes to veteran cuts this week, Reggie Bush cut by the Lions. A.J. Hawk done with the Packers, too. About that. That's that time of year it happens.
Well, A.J. Hawk, when's the last time he was relevant in that Packers defense? I mean, they moved Clay Matthews inside and basically took A.J. Hawk out of the defensive game plan.
Yeah.
I mean, that was going. The Reggie Bush, unfortunately, it had a 1,000-yard year. The first year he was the Lions running back after free agency. Great signing by them this year. High expectations with that offense. You know, Calvin Johnson gets hurt, misses a lot of the year, and then Reggie Bush was with a nagging ankle and was just not the same player. So at his age, at the position he's playing, you got to produce or they're going to go find somebody else who can do it, especially when you're a 29-year-old running back coming off injuries, couldn't stay on the field, tough to keep a job.
Left tackle Michael Ruse retiring from the Titans. How good was he, Tony?
Very good player. I wouldn't say he's a great player, but a very good player. All pro 1 year, pro bowl 1 year. Had an outstanding career. Was a guy you could trust on the left side as an offensive lineman. Came out of Eastern Washington University. Wasn't, you know, a big draft pick or anything like that. You know, second round guy, but got the most. Very, you know, was a good athlete, good feet, and did a good job. And should look back on his career and, man, be very proud of what he accomplished. He was one of the better left tackles who played the game during the time that he played.
We'll finish with the L.A. news. Chargers-Raiders talking about a shared stadium, of course. And now Inglewood has approved Kroenke's plan for the stadium at Hollywood Park. All of a sudden, L.A. really, really red hot.
So we're going to have three teams all of a sudden?
Who knows?
First one there, it's a race. You know, it would be interesting. Kroenke has the money to do the whole dang thing himself, has the property, and he owns the team. The Raiders and the Rams are looking for a stadium to move into, and the problem is, I think in a lot of places in this country right now, and in California more than most, or more than maybe any other place, hard to find public dollars to build a billion-dollar, and in L.A. it'll probably be about $1.5 billion to $2 billion stadium.
Wow.
With the budget issues that state has, the deficit it already is in, I think it's a hard pill to swallow to justify getting public dollars for that. Stan Kroenke might use minimal dollars, public dollars. He has, you know, he has the ability to do it himself. Neither the Spanos family or the Davis leadership leading that organization, the Raiders, I don't think they have the depth in the pocketbook to probably pull that off without public dollars. So it'll be interesting to say. Maybe together they can. I'm not sure. But it's a race to L.A.
Does the franchise
only took 20 years.
To L.A. folks, people in L.A., does it matter what franchise it is? Are there ties to Raiders and Rams still?
I think there is a – I argue there's still a large population of people in L.A. who don't care if they don't have an NFL team. Go look at the TV numbers in L.A. They're off the charts.
Yeah.
The NFL is viewed there at a very high rate, and I have, you know, this is not scientific or anything, but I have friends there that would they like a team? Sure. But not having a team, they get the best games and the doubleheaders on both networks every weekend. So, listen, L.A. is a – when you're winning, the L.A. is a market that is electric. I mean – you go watch when the Dodgers win, the Lakers are winning, the Clippers. I mean, it's off the charts. When you're not winning, there's about 10 million other things to do in Los Angeles, and might get a little sparse. I was there when they had two teams, and nobody. We used to, in college, we could go watch any game and pretty much sit anywhere we wanted to. Walk across the street to the Coliseum, watch the Raiders, or drive down the freeway about 45 minutes to Anaheim to watch the Rams. So. There's going to be a team there sooner or later. It's a different market. It's a great place. I love L.A.
Yeah, sure you do.
So it's just but there'll be a team there. Who it is, I don't know.
Join John Osier and me for Jaguars.com Live every Wednesday at 1. Special guests keep you informed of the latest Jags news, and we'll take your social media questions. Jaguars.com Live Wednesdays at 1. Next week, though, not on Wednesday. We'll be live Thursday from Lincoln, Nebraska. At the Cornhuskers Pro Day for Jaguars.com Live.
So you're not going to be with us?
No, I will not.
So be just.
I'll be calling in from Lincoln.
Gosh, it's such a better show that, that way.
Funny. Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk joins us after this on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
We continue on Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick with Tony Boselli. Glad you're with us tonight. We continue our look around the National Football League with Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk. Mike, how are you? Plenty of news today around the league.
Oh, there is plenty of news.
It starts with...
How are you guys?
Doing well. Thanks for coming on. Good to see you in Indy last week, of course. Let's start with the Peterson news today. A judge has ruled in favor of Adrian Peterson on his appeal of that suspension. Basically, the league can't apply rules retroactively. That's what it comes down to, right?
Yeah, that's the outcome. The judge decided that the new personal conduct policy doesn't apply backward. Now, there's a chance that the NFL will try to rediscipline Peterson under the old personal conduct policy. But under the old conduct policy for domestic violence, first offense, it was a two-game suspension. He's already served that. So it remains to be seen what the league does before its disciplinary body. And then the NFL already has announced that it's going to appeal Judge Doty's ruling. So when it appeared that we were going to have some clarity and that Adrian Peterson was possibly going to be available at the start of the league year to maybe be traded if he wants out of Minnesota, the brakes are now slammed on this thing, and who knows what's going to happen. He was already due to be reconsidered for reinstatement on April 15. That may be when this all gets resolved if the court system doesn't expedite its appeal process.
Yeah, Mike, I mean, talk us through. I mean, Doty makes the ruling. The NFL immediately appeals based on a bunch of mumble-jumble legal language that I'm sure you understand. But us ex-offensive linemen just kind of read right past it. What is the next step specifically, and what is the time frame we're looking at? Because you mentioned perfect. I mean, the reinstatement was in April possibly, but you have the league year starting here. You had the almost fight, which I think is probably a little bit overblown at the combine between agents and the Vikings president, and who knows whether he wants to play there or they want him. I mean, what is the next steps where we can see things being resolved, and what's that time frame look like?
Well, we don't know, because we won't know how quickly the appeal will proceed or not proceed. When I practiced law and you had a federal appeal, it typically took a full year by the time it was resolved from when you filed the notice of appeal. And the NFL's already done that. It's just one page document. You file it with the federal district court. We appeal the ruling. And then it can take months before it's done. So I think the NFLPA should try to get that process expedited. And on top of that, the NFL's arbitrator, Harold Henderson, has the case back in his lap after the decision from Judge Doty, and he can take his time figuring out what to do. And again, meanwhile, April 15th, that's the day that Peterson was supposed to be reinstated potentially. Anyway, the key, though, is to get this all cleared away, if it possibly can be cleared away, by March 10th, when the new league year begins. Because if Peterson is dead set against playing for the Vikings, and the Vikings are going to trade him, it's in everyone's interest to have him available on March 10th. Because let's say the Cowboys are a suitor for Adrian Peterson. Well, if they have to decide what they're going to do with DeMarco Murray, and let's say they re-sign DeMarco Murray before Peterson's reinstated, there goes Peterson as an option for the Cowboys. So if the Vikings are looking to maximize trade value, if they decide to go ahead and move Adrian Peterson, this needs to get done sooner rather than later. If it takes into April, it increases the likelihood that Peterson's just going to stay in Minnesota.
Wasn't this Rodgers, Goodell's way out, in the sense of, I mean, he's already, you know, persona non grata amongst the players and the PA, and for how he has handled these disciplinary actions. I've always said I think he's in a no-win situation, because you have the public perception that wants to absolutely throw the book at the players for domestic violence, and I'm not saying that's not the right action, and you have, you know, the players saying they want due process, and to be fair, Roger can't win either way. Wasn't this a way out, saying, listen, we tried to suspend him, it was overturned by the arbitrator, let's move forward, to your point, make him get this done by the league year, and let's just move on?
Yeah, I mean, you know, but that's the thing. Is the NFL concerned about doing the right thing, or is the NFL concerned about PR? You know, that's the same explanation in the wake of the Ray Rice suspension that was overturned by an arbitrator. Well, we tried. We suspended him indefinitely, and that crazy arbitrator overturned it. Now we tried to suspend Adrian Peterson until April 15, and that crazy judge overturned it. Hey, we're trying to do the right thing, but are they really trying to do the right thing? And this does show the value, as the NFLPA said today in a statement, of having an independent arbitrator. Because I think what happens is, you know, the NFLPA accuses the NFL of making it up as they go along. And I think that's accurate to an extent. I think what actually occurs is the NFL decides, here's our end point. This is what we want. Now, lawyers, you figure out how to get what we want. And I think the we means Roger Goodell. Goodell says, I don't want this guy playing again this year. Make it happen. I don't want this guy playing until November 15. Make it happen. Instead of going through a process without any preconceived notions of how it's going to play out. And that's the way it should be. You apply the rules as written, and however it shakes out is how it shakes out, without anybody saying, hey, this is the outcome that I desire, regardless of what the rules would point to.
Mike Florio is with us, Pro Football Talk on Jaguars Thursday. News about Dez Bryant has come out. An incident back in 2011 has come to light now through a series of reports, but there's apparently a video in a Walmart parking lot that could come out at some point. When does that come out, and what does this mean for Dez moving forward and toward free agency and with the Cowboys? It's all just kind of mixed up together, it seems like.
Well, it is, but let me tell you, this thing had been around for months, and there had been people in the NFL who had heard about it, people who believed it was true without any proof, people in the media who had been chasing it, and this all kind of got out of the bag on Friday. I was on the radio in Dallas, and the host asked, well, you know, we've heard from two different people. There's some specific thing the Cowboys are worried about with Dez Bryant off the field, and I blurted out, well, yeah, there's this rumor about the video. I'm like, oh, boy, if the cat's out of the bag, let's, I guess we go try to round the cat back up. And that actually, even though I didn't intend it to be disclosed and didn't want that out there because the story wasn't finished yet,
right,
I think it's pushed it forward. And now we've seen developments. And Adam Schefter said he's been working on it since September. I think at some point ESPN will have something on this. NFL media released the incident report that was obtained from the Lancaster, Texas Police Department showing that something happened in the Walmart parking lot. A woman was pulled from a car registered to Dez Bryant, dragged to another car, and a police officer responded, talked to various witnesses, and for whatever reason, that police officer didn't go into the security office at Walmart and say, I want to see the security camera.
He's a Cowboy fan.
I want to see what's on there.
Maybe he's a Cowboy fan.
And I don't know why he didn't do it. And now the question is, who has that video? Was it erased? Is it gone? Is it in a court file somewhere? District Attorney's Office? Does Walmart have it at their home office in Bentonville, Arkansas? That's what people are trying to find out. All we know so far today, the Lancaster Police Department doesn't have a copy of it, and that makes sense. Their officer didn't go in to look at it, and his police report makes no mention of it.
What does this do to the monetary value of Dez Bryant? Not only for the Cowboys, as they got to decide, are they going to franchise tag him, which might be the safest thing to do at this point because it's just a one-year deal, or sign to a long-term contract, or roll the dice and let him go to the free agency. What does this incident, because we all know Dez has a track record, a long history of, you know, some questionable behavior and needing extra people to be with him to make sure it doesn't get out of line off the field. What's the value proposition right now for Dez Bryant?
Well, you know, I don't know how much this really affects him because it happened in 2011. And the Adrian Peterson ruling today would suggest that if there is a video and if there is a finding of Dez Bryant violating the NFL's personal conduct policy, it's going to be the old policy, not the new one, that gets applied to him. So that reduces the amount of time that he would be gone from the NFL if anything would ever come from this. The way a team protects itself is not giving the guy a huge signing bonus. You can give him fully guaranteed money, and those guarantees will void if he's ever suspended for any reason during the life of the contract. You can fully guarantee as much of it as you want, because if something happens, you end up keeping the money. You just don't give him a huge signing bonus, because if something happens then and you have the right to go get the money back, well, good luck getting the money back, because the money may be gone by then. So, I don't know that this has a huge impact. The Cowboys, for whatever reason, have not wanted to pay him a huge amount of fully guaranteed money. Is that just the way they're doing their long-term contracts for non-quarterbacks, or are they concerned about something happening with Dez Bryant? No one knows the answer to that question. Here's what's going to be interesting to me. If they apply the franchise tag to him, and he's available to sign an offer sheet with another team, if the Cowboys don't match it, the Cowboys get two first-round draft picks. Okay, look at what the Bills gave up to get Sammy Watkins last year. The Bills gave up their own ninth overall pick in the draft, a first-round pick in 2015, and a fourth-round pick in 2015. Mm-hmm. So they gave up two first-round picks, one of which was a top-10 pick, and a fourth-round pick to get Sammy Watkins. Is there a team out there lurking at the bottom of the draft, so it's a 27th, 28th, 29th overall pick, that would be willing to give up that pick and presumably a low pick next year for a shot at Dez Bryant? This may give a team the perfect opportunity to swoop in and make an offer that the Cowboys won't match.
Interesting. Interesting times ahead on
Mike,
this one.
Mike, thanks. Great stuff.
We appreciate your time tonight, Mike, on short notice, and have a good one. Always good to visit with you.
All right.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, joining us on Jaguars Thursday. Yep. Boy, this is going to be interesting to see moving ahead what happens both with AP and with Dez Bryant. I mean, two huge names in the game right now, Tony.
And well, you got Greg Hardy. We didn't even get to Greg Hardy, yeah. Who's one of the better pass rushers, defensive end Carolina, who's been on the commissioner's or the owner's exempt list, whatever that thing's called. Yeah. And he's trying to figure out whether he can be reinstated before the league calendar year starts and have a chance at free agency. Crazy stuff going on.
Tony, we'll talk to you next week from Lincoln, Nebraska.
Yeah, we can't wait, JP, for you to be there.
I will be there. Thanks to Tony. Thanks to Joe Fortunato, Jaguars manager of radio. Thanks to Luke Buenco as well and Mike Florio for everyone involved. This is JP Shadrick. Thanks for listening to Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.